Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning the difference between God's general will and specific will for our lives. The message is called This is the Will of God, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we go back to basics.
We're speaking this morning on the subject of the will of God. And in verse 3, Paul simply says, "For this is the will of God." Perhaps you have heard someone say, or maybe you've even said to someone yourself, "Did you know that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life?" Now, when we say that, it is a way of expressing our belief in the will of God. Many times throughout the scriptures, we have references to God's will. I think of Paul, who would often, in his introduction to his epistles, he would refer to himself as an apostle by the will of God. And the biblical writers believe strongly in this whole idea that God does indeed have a specific plan and purpose for our lives. In one particular place, Paul expressed it as the perfect will of God. Now, the big question, the question that I've asked, that perhaps you have asked, the question that I have sought to help answer for many people is, how do I know what God's will is for my life? That's really one of the important questions in life that we will ask. I want to know what God's plan is for my life. And I have spent many hours, and I would probably say even more like days and weeks and maybe even months throughout my Christian life, pondering this very thought, contemplating it, praying about it, seeking to ascertain what God's will is. So this is the question that we want to address this morning. How can I discover God's will for my life? But before we can answer that, we have to understand that there are two aspects to God's will. There is what we might call the general will of God, and then there is the specific will of God. Now, the general will of God is something that we can know. We can know for certain because God has laid it out for us in the scriptures. And the general will of God is virtually the same for everyone. The specific will of God, on the other hand, refers to God's will for us as individuals and deals with the more personal matters of life. Things like, say, for example, if I'm a young person, things like education. A young person in school, maybe finishing up their high school years, wondering, where do I go from here? Should I go on to college? If I go to college, which college? What should my major be? Things like that. These are questions that come up in our mind. Things like vocation. What is my vocation to be? What am I to do as a profession? Or what is God calling me to do career-wise? Marriage and family. Does God will that I be married? And if so, who would he have me to marry? Where should I live? Should I stay in the same location? Should I leave this location and move somewhere else? What should I do with my financial resources? Where should I invest them? If you've come to the age of retirement, perhaps you've asked that question. What comes next? What do I do now? What is God's will? You see, all of these things, of course, are dealing with the more personal aspect of God's will for our lives. So the question is, how do I get to know what God's will is for my life in these personal matters? Well, it's only by fulfilling the general will of God that I can go on to discover the specific will of God. And so we've got to, first of all, understand what the general will of God is, and we've got to pursue that. And it's through the pursuit of the general will of God that we will ultimately discover God's will on a more specific level. So our first point that we want to address is in regard to the general will of God. What is the general will of God? Well, the Bible tells us specifically, it gives us specifically four things that God wills. It actually states, this is the will of God, and then gives us direction. First of all, God's will is that a person be saved. This is where it all begins. And of course, until we experience God's will in this particular area, we can't really go any further. It all starts with salvation. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it's God's will that men and women come to repentance, that they turn from their sin and turn to him. Jesus expressed it in John 6:40 in this way. He said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." So it all begins with receiving Christ. It all starts with turning away from our sin and turning to the Lord. And once I do that, then I begin this journey, ultimately, hopefully, into God's perfect will for my life. But Paul goes on and he tells us more. He tells us in the text that we referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So once we are saved, once we've come to personal faith in Jesus, it is God's will that we be sanctified. Now, there is maybe some question in a person's mind about this subject of sanctification. What exactly does that mean? Well, sanctification is the process that we are all in the midst of as believers, of being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. It is the process of becoming holy. Now, in one sense, we are holy because we're in Christ and we've been set apart for God's purposes, but that is working itself out practically in our lives each and every day, all the way through our entire lives. And we have to have a commitment to that. I am committed to growing. I am committed to developing my spiritual life. So when we ask the question, especially as a new believer, well, where do I go from here? What is God's will at this point? God's will is your sanctification. Now, in the context here, and we'll talk more about this this evening, but in the context, Paul is speaking of sexual purity. The word sanctification has to do with holiness. It's the same Greek root. And the idea is that we're being separated from the things that are sinful and unpleasing to God, and we are being separated to God and for His purposes. And so God's will for each and every one of us is our sanctification. And we have got to submit ourselves to that sanctification process. It's a dual type of a thing. God is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, but we are at the same time to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So God has put salvation in us, and the working out of that salvation, developing it, cultivating it, that is another way of describing this process of sanctification. So this is God's will. We know that God's will is our sanctification. Thirdly, Peter tells us in his first epistle, the second chapter, the 15th verse, that it is God's will that we do good. And so we could say the pursuit of righteousness is another aspect of the general will of God. The general will of God, again, meaning this is God's will for everybody. So we are to do good. We are to pursue righteousness. We are to live a good life. We are to love people. We are to be kind and compassionate. We are to be helpful. We are to serve one another. And this is another clear declaration of God's will. And then once again, Paul, in this first epistle to the Thessalonians, he tells us that a thankful attitude is also the will of God. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it all begins with salvation. And once we're saved, then it's the sanctification process. We're submitting ourselves to this. We are seeking to live righteously, to live the kind of life that God wants us to be. And our attitude is one of thankfulness. We're thankful for God's blessing. We're thankful for His mercy. We're thankful for the way He provides for us and takes care of us. And now, here's the thing. As I focus on the general will of God and seek to apply myself to fulfilling the general will of God, I will find that it's in that that I will also begin to discover the specific will of God. You see, the person who goes out in pursuit of the specific will of God while neglecting the general will of God is never going to find the specific will. You see, you've got to first of all accomplish the general. And then once you accomplish these things, or you're living in this process of seeking to accomplish it, it's not like it's ever going to be totally completed until we've got our glorified bodies, but we're living in that context and we're pursuing that. As we're doing that, we open ourselves up then for the more specific plan of God to be revealed in our lives. Sometimes a person will come to me and they will be very concerned about the particulars. They want to know God's specific will in an area. But as we begin to talk, they'll then begin to tell me about all of the other problems in their life that are related back to the general will of God. And I have often said to a person, hey, let's, you know, put the other thing on hold for the time being and let's concentrate on this right here. Because God's already told us what He wants us to do in this particular area, and we've got to be doing that in order to open the door to enter into those more specific things. So now, when it comes to God's will in a more specific manner, in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul lays out for us, I think, a prescription for how to discover God's will. He refers to it even as the perfect will of God. So I would say that he's talking here more specifically about that particular will that God has for you as an individual. And this is what he says. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he lays out for us the way by which we can come to understand God's specific will. And it starts, notice, with presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And this is really just another way of describing complete and total surrender of our lives to the Lord. You know, here's the reality. I'm never going to get into the perfect will of God. I'm never going to get into the center of God's perfect plan and purpose for my life if I have not surrendered my will over to His totally. If I'm still holding on to my will, if I'm still trying to accomplish my plan, if I'm still living even secretly according to my agenda, this will prevent me from entering into God's perfect will. It will prevent me from discovering God's perfect will. So I have got to come to a place of really just throwing up my hands and saying, Lord, my life is yours. You bought me with a price and you own me, and I know that you created me with a purpose. So here I am, Lord. You take this life that you created and redeemed, and you lead me into those things that you planned for me from before the foundation of the world. You see, when you do that, you set yourself up to get into the center of God's will. But as long as I refuse to do that, then I keep myself out of that place of being in God's perfect will, and ultimately, I keep myself out of that place of blessing. You see, oftentimes, we are our own worst enemy, because we foolishly think at times that we somehow have a better plan for our lives than God does. Now, anyone who's ever consciously thought that and then gone out in pursuit of fulfilling their dreams, most people have already, and some are yet to discover, that this is a serious delusion. You cannot possibly improve on God's will for your life. If you're going to set aside God's will and go in pursuit of your own will, you are robbing yourself of goodness and of blessing, because there is no real blessing outside of the pursuit of God's perfect will. So it starts with a complete surrender of our lives, which include our will, our mind, and the members of our body physically. So basically, we're just handing ourselves over to the Lord. Lord, here I am, not my will, but your will be done. That's where it starts. Secondly, he says, and do not be conformed to this world. You could translate that literally, stop allowing the world to mold you into its image. And this is what the world does. The fads, the fashions, the philosophies of the world are all orchestrated, according to Ephesians chapter 2, by Satan himself. And so he's behind the scenes orchestrating these things, and he is working through this system to try to press everybody into a particular mold. And Paul says to the early Christians, he says, stop allowing yourself to be molded into the image of the world. Translated here, do not be conformed to this world. Now, when we read that, do not be conformed to this world, we might have in our minds a certain idea of what that would look like. And oftentimes I think we would have in our minds that that looks like something blatantly sinful or some vice or wickedness that we're not to conform to. And certainly that would be included, but it's more subtle than that. It's not necessarily that only. It's more subtle. What is the chief mark of the man or woman of this world? The chief mark is not sexual immorality. The chief mark is not, you know, covetousness or, you know, some of the things that we might think. The chief mark of the man or woman of this world is a life lived independent of God's influence. And so when Paul is saying not to be conformed to this world, he's basically telling us not to fall into that subtle trap of allowing the world to influence the way we think and the way we behave and the way we make decisions and things like that. I have seen many times over the years in the church, Christian people who are in some ways, unbeknownst to them, allowing themselves to be conformed to the world. I say unbeknownst to them because in a lot of ways they don't realize it because they're not thinking of the subtlety of the world system. They're thinking of it more in the obvious, blatant, gross manifestations of sin rather than the more subtle idea of human independence from the influence of God over our lives. You see, the thing that we have to realize is that what we have given ourselves over to as believers is a life of total dependence upon the Lord. That's what he's looking for. And that is how we refuse to conform to this world. I cannot obey this exhortation if I'm the kind of person who says, well, you know what, I'm going to make up my own mind about that. Or, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. Or, well, you know, I'm just going to go my own way on this. That is the language of those who are conformed to the world. They're living independent of God's influence. But the language of those who are not being conformed is the language of dependency. It says, well, you know, I'd like to do this, but I want to seek the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray about it and find out what God has for me. Well, I don't want to go this way just because it looks good to me, because, you know, God might have something else. You see, what we have to realize as believers and what we will realize as we grow in the Lord is that God and his ways are a lot different than the world and its ways. And oftentimes, what seems to be the ideal situation from the human standpoint is not at all the plan or the purpose or the way that God wants to do something. You see, we can so easily mistake things that, well, you know, that's the way I would do it, or that looks like a great thing. We can mistake those things for God's leading when in actuality it's not God leading at all.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called This is the Will of God, and the resource number is OBB483. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Brodersen. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.